Okay, engine room tuned.
TR, N4ZLK. Good evening, Tom.
Oh, finally, a good evening to sit down and rest. I bet you feel the same way, Shane.
For the last 20 minutes, driving home. Actually, the last bit of my route, I do a lot of sitting and just driving. I don't, everybody else loads for me, so it's really not hard work. It's just trying to get there and get through traffic. That's it.
Where was your last part of your route at today?
Donaldson Center area, Speed My Highway, Highway 25. I make the same pickups every day. Occasionally they'll have one that normal package car driver gets, but they may ship out a pallet or two instead of just a few boxes or 20 or 30 boxes, and so they'll have me swing by and get it. But generally it's the same customers every day.
It's really busy over there in that Augusta Road this time of night, isn't it?
Especially right around 5 o'clock, between 5 and 6, and 85 is always backed up, which going to away from the building, I have to get on the interstate for an exit between Augusta Road and Whitehorse. I have to get on the interstate. I don't have to, but there are ways around. It just takes longer, and that's usually creeping along. Coming back, I get on like the exit ramp for the interstate, but don't actually get on the interstate.
I bet you can't wait to the day you retire.
Forward to it. Be nice to not have to do this anymore. 34 years is kind of adding up.
And Shane, it's heck to have to work for a living.
I know a lot of people that don't seem to. So, whatever. It's the way it's been. It's probably good for me.
Yeah, I won't even tell you about what I saw on TV this morning, but it turned your stomach. The way this guy was using his children. But at any rate, don't get into that. Bernice is just finishing up shower, and I just got done with mine. And we took time out today to totally clean out the chicken pen and the watering system and all. And my back is killing me. And I had to go to the doctor, and I noticed tonight on my chart my white count's way up, but I think that's because my kidney's full of stones. I was thinking it might be an infection, but they didn't call back, so I guess I'm still kicking. But other than that, nothing new. You get back those test results ahead of the doctor, I think, at times, but in this case, I think he had it, but didn't think it was necessary to act on it. They're supposed to schedule me for that kidney surgery, but the nurse come back in and said, well, the scheduling nurse is on vacation, so I'm out in limbo again.
You do sound like you worked hard today. You sound more tired than you normally do, but I would think that something like that would be pretty important. Are you experiencing a lot of pain with it? Isn't it kidney and gallstones?
Gallbladder, but kidney stones, well, I looked that up, what it was made out of, but it's different. Gallbladder is cholesterol the stones are made out of. Kidney stones are something else. Doesn't matter. But yeah, I got one. He showed the CT scan to us again today. And that one is a doozy, but there's three other ones I see in there. It's pretty good size. Well, looks like whenever somebody like that important that scheduled surgery goes on vacation, looks like they'd have somebody else that would take her place, you know? But apparently they didn't. But she took down some dates when my daughter's going to be out of town, and she said I'll have her schedule it around that. I got to go in and spend a good portion of the day and get operated on and then spend the night get out the next day if I ain't bleeding. So, we'll see what they come up with anyways. But boy, that chicken pen today, that's why I'm so tired tonight. Bernice worked my butt off.
I would say it's about time, but I think she does that to you all the time, doesn't she?
We clean it out, and then I've cleaned it out two or three times here while she's been down. But this time we did a more thorough job, and then we put sand. It's got like linoleum in there. And then we put sand on it, and then we put pine chips in there. And it just takes quite a bit of time. And that sand, we'd had those bags of sand a while, so they were wet. And I got to tell you, wet sand is heavy, as you well know. And I can't lift much. That's what gets my back. So while she did that, I filled the feeders and cleaned out the water cups and give them some oats and some corn and things of that sort. And, I don't know what all else we did out there. Then coming back in, there's some grass growing up between the cracks in the back drive back there. So I decided I'm going to round up it. Well, the small sprayer was practically out. So I got the big sprayer, which was 3 or 4 gallon. And I went out there, and actually it's been setting since summertime, so it didn't work. So I decided I was going to try to fix it, and that was a mistake. But I got the sprayer in here now. It's got a little pump in it and a battery. So I'll look at that tomorrow. And there's Bernice there now. You want to say hi, Shane?
Hi, Shane.
I hear you worked Tom really hard. He sounds like he's tired. Right. Well, I'm glad you got it done. I know that was probably a job you've been wanting to do for a while.
To do it more thoroughly, and she's a farmer. She does a better job than I do. But we kind of do it together, and then I take the buckets and take them out there and dump them. And, a lot of it we dump out on the gardens. For fertilizer, and it'll get embedded until springtime, and it's pretty rich.
A chicken leftovers makes the, not really leftovers, but you know what I mean, makes for some good fertilizer. But you can also, you get too much on there, and it'll burn your crops, too.
My chicken dung is hot stuff. They tell me, we used to go out to our mom's and get cow dung and bring it in, put it on the garden, and boy, that worked, that really worked well, because it was all dried and everything, you know, in a certain part of the barn. Oh, I don't know, we enjoyed it, and we'd go out there and cut wood for the wood stove and whatnot, and take the kids with us, and my nephews was remarking the other day about some German, it's like scrambled pancakes or something in the Bernice, something of that sort of, but I remember Shelley, our oldest daughter, going out in the garage with Grandma, and they had some kind of grain, I don't know what it was, wheat, wasn't it, and they ground flour in that grinder out there, and it turned pretty high RPM, but, a lot of good memories of that on the farm.
Out of N4ZLK, we've made a lot of improvements, a lot of technology has made our lives simpler, or easier, I guess, but I don't know if it's been good for us in the long run.
They milk the cow and skim the cream, put it in a churn and make butter.
Isn't that fresh milk, fresh, creamy, thick milk? We did that with cows. We also had goats. My mother had an ulcer for a while, and they said goat milk would be better. So we bought some goats, and we milked them, and it took a little while. It took a few weeks to get used to that goat milk, the difference in taste. And then trying to go back to cow's milk seemed like just as bad.
Yeah, I never had goat's milk, and I never did eat lamb. I see Aldi's has got a lot of lamb in there, and I do see people of Arabic origins and that, you know, in there, and I think they eat lamb. But I've never tried it.
It's got a distinct taste, but it's good. And you know, there's people eat goats too. There's years ago I can't even remember where it was, somewhere around here. There was a goat farm, it was a meat goat farm, and they raised them specifically to sell it for the meat.
Dang things will eat anything.
They'll chew up a tin can, they'll tear up anything you got out there if you're not careful. And they'll eat the grass and briars, they'll eat them down to the root. You can't leave them in one spot for too long or they'll eat it to the dry grass or the ground. But when they're babies, they can attach to you like a dog, and we raised a couple of orphan goats, and they would follow us around like a dog and just play with us in the yard. And, you know, they wouldn't fetch or anything like that, but they had to be everywhere we were.
That's a pretty good memory, I'll bet you. Yeah, Mama, she never did have goats, did she, Bernice? No, they never had goats out there. They had hogs and chickens and cows. I remember they had a brown Swiss. Boy, that thing gave a lot of good milk.
There's a big difference in the cows and what the milk producers and the flavor and, you know, I think Holsteins, I think you get the most out of them. That's why they use them so much for dairy production for a commercial. But those Jersey cows and some of those others, they put out some really good milk.
They milk them and set the milk cans out in front, and somebody would come by and pick it up in the Bernice and sell the milk that way too. But, I was trying to think of something else. I lost my train of thought. I guess it's because I'm tired. I'm just sitting here watching Matt Dillon without any sound on. I just can't get away from that. I like Gunsmoke shows. They always end up with the good guy winning, you know?
For ZLK, I do. I know that. I like Matt Dillon as well. Of course, I watched the reruns when I was a kid. I didn't watch them original.
20 years of them on videotape. Oh, there's your heart feels. You take them, Bernice? Yep, she did. I got a dinger on my phone for that. But I got rid of them just before I met Chad, and he loves them, and I would have sure give them to him. But I just tossed them out finally, but I've seen all of these before, but I don't care. he's getting ready to draw there in front of that little church right now. They're just half-hour shows, but they are good.
A good moral lesson with them, too, most of those old shows like that. Kids grew up watching them, and I think it helped out. But anyway, Tom, if you're tired, don't feel like you have to hang out with me. Not too far from the house, and I'm good. I always enjoy talking to you, but you sound like you want to rest tonight.
You know, I was thinking about those short cartridges. I just wonder if it was because I was shooting those out of an automatic that they were so inaccurate. I just wonder if they'd be accurate in a bolt action.
I don't know enough about that, but the reasoning sounds like it could be correct.
To mine, that you know, he came over the other day and he had a bolt action 22. Boy, that's a beautiful rifle. It's a I didn't know they made it. It was a heavy barrel, a 22 Ruger, and bolt action. I'm sure it would shoot shorts, but it even was threaded on the end, you know, but it had a something over the cap on it, and had a synthetic stock, and it looked like a, oh, my buddy used to have a stock that was laminated, that was wood, and it was beautiful up in Kansas. That's what it looked like, but it's not. But I wouldn't be surprised, because I know my buddy Henry used to shoot a lot of squirrels up there in Kansas, and he always used shorts. These things were, they missed by, you know, you might get one in the bull, and then you get 4 to 6 inches out, and they'd sound different. And they're good cartridges, they're CCIs. But nonetheless, I don't have a bolt action, so it doesn't do me any good. Have you got a bolt action?
I don't, but I have a little pistol that shoots, six shooter. It shoots the shorts. It'll shoot shorts, longs, and then it's got a different cartridge for the magnums. But I have a rifle. It'll hold 18 in that little barrel underneath the barrel, you know, whatever, the sleeve under the barrel. It's a semi-automatic, and it's a long rifle only, though. I don't think it would shoot shorts. I think it says right on there 22 LR.
Yeah, I tried them in a Ruger 10/22, and it absolutely won't shoot them at all. I even get some bad long rifles now, and then they'll pop instead of shoot like a normal shell, you know. If you do, you miss. But you know, you're quite right on that. I had a friend back in Kansas in the tool room there at that machine shop I worked at, Henry. And him and Gary Jones, they had a friend called Arkansas John, I'll never forget. And he had an extra barrel off of a 10/22. And he took that and he cut off about 2 inches of it, and then Hank machined it a little bit, you know. And they actually made the receiver and the whole nine yards for a single shot Derringer. And I thought, you'll never be able to hit anything with that stupid thing. And we was out fishing one day, and we was out at the end of this drift pit that was, we called it the 3 mile pit. I don't think it was quite that long, but it was long, you know, left over by the coal miners. And it had been there for 100 years. And we got down, there was a waterfall. It was just runoff. It wasn't a big waterfall like around here. And I said, Gary, I got to go to the restroom. So I jumped out of the boat kind of on an island out there. And I went over there, and I was standing there going to the restroom. And Gary says, freeze. And I said, what the heck can I do, you know? And he said, there's a snake by your leg, Tom. And I said, well, I'll get him. I had a 38 special on my side. And Gary said, no, I want to get him my Derringer. I said, there ain't no way. I said, he'll bite me. And it was a common water snake. They're not poisonous. And, you know, he shot that thing from about 10 feet away and shot him right between the eyes, Shane.
Okay. Yeah, Tom, that's a good shot. And also a sign of a skilled craftsman who put that Derringer together.
He crude in a way, but in another way, it was a fine machining job. You had to flip this little lever up and put the cartridge in, flip it down, and then cock it. But it wasn't over 2 inches long. You ain't going to have nothing with that. He made a believer out of me. Gary was a good shot. He was a good shot with his 10/22 also. We used to see who could do the best on bench rest shooting, and he was always very hard to beat with that standard old 10/22. Those are good rifles, Shane, and right off the shelf.
and I think my mother's husband has one or two or ten of those. I'm not sure. He's got quite a few of a lot of stuff. He's a retired drill sergeant and a retired Greenville City police officer. He used to shoot a competition. But did I ever tell you, I think I may have, you tell me if I did, about my uncle over in England? He kind of a jack of all trades, a self-made man, and he bought a little metal lathe. Did I tell you about what he made?
No, sir.
Based on guns over there, and he's a member of these clubs, and he'll load for the gentry. You know, the gentry can shoot shotguns, and you can have a shotgun, but it's a lot of work, a lot of paperwork, and but he's around. He knew a lot of the townspeople, knew a lot of the police officers and stuff. But anyway, he made a little pipe that held a .22 cartridge. It looked just like a pipe, and you would twist the bowl, hold onto the stem and twist the bowl, and a little trigger would pop out. You could not see that trigger embedded in the barrel right at the base of the bowl there until you knew it was there. It looked just like a pipe. He carried it in his mouth. Now, he never carried it loaded, but he loved guns. He loved guns, and he just piddled around. And then he made a cane that would hold a 12-gauge shotgun shell. Same way, the handle would, you just twist the handle. It had a rubber boot on the end, so it would shoot through it. And he'd twist the handle of the cane, and a little trigger would pop out. And there you go.
Well, with the CIA. I forget what they call that over there in World War II. Yeah, I've seen plans for a cigarette lighter that would shoot a .22 short that way. Reach up, start to light a cigarette for a guy and pop him, you know. There was a name for their, and it wasn't MI6 or something, I can't remember. Well, my brother-in-law was 26 years on the Wichita Police Force, and he was like a brother to me, but he took me through the, down at the courthouse, took me through the new police station down there and all, and it was amazing. But at one time, he was the bomb squad, when back in the old days, in the 50s, I guess, 60s. And he made a thing, I can't remember how it was made, Shane, but what he'd done was, if they found a live device, this thing would shoot a shotgun shell, but he found that if you loaded it with this stuff that they put on the road signs, this glass-like stuff. Probably don't use it now, but it was like a real fine, like salt, but it was glass. And they built this, or he did, built this thing, and it would shoot into that, and the glass in that would insulate so fast that the charge in the explosive wouldn't go off because glass is very high dielectric. I can't remember the specifics now, and George passed away many years ago, but I thought that was kind of intriguing.
Fascinating. I love hearing where people come up with ideas like that, ways of dealing with things that they need to deal with and doing it in unconventional ways.
That was pretty neat. He was a great man, and he was in the Navy, and then he was first in his class down there in the AE school, I remember him saying. But he didn't know a thing about electricity when I knew him. I wired four or five different garages for him when they moved around. What'd you say? How many garages I wired for him? Four, five? Yeah, four of them. And I never ever charged him a dime, of course. I just did it. But it was fun. We had a lot of fun together. Well, Shane, I'll let you go. You must be getting close to home. Nice talking to you this evening. And we'll go back to watching Matt Dillon to the top of the hour, and I'll see if I can find something for Bernice to watch here. N4ZLK in 0TR. Glad you had a good day, Shane. 73.
Always. I appreciate the ride-along and the stories. Miss Bernice, you have a good evening. Take care of Tom. He sounds like you worked him too hard. We will talk to you again. Have a good night. N0TR, N4ZLK.